Okay, so we're going to get started in just a second here. I think we're all set with the cameras. Great. So the first thing we're going to do today, well, first, let's do some introductions. My name is RJ. This is Rob. And we'll be the teaching fellows for S76 this year. And these labs are meant to be a time for more hands-on exercises where we'll give some instructions, we'll break up into groups kind of like this, work through them. Then we'll be floating around to help out, and then we'll go over an example solution or take example solutions from the group.
Yeah, if you ever have any questions, you can raise your hand, and one of us, even if like RJ's talking, I can come over and help whenever. So yeah, feel free.
Especially these early labs where we'll be doing a bit of software setup, just getting everyone's configuration on the same page is the most important thing. So definitely raise your hand if something doesn't seem to be quite the same as it is up here, or something doesn't seem to be quite working. If you got my email a little while ago, there's a link in there. If you haven't installed XAMPP, you can click the link in there and install XAMPP. That's the first thing we're going to do, is just download that software, get it installed, and try to put an example HTML file in your sites folder and get that to load. So anything you put in that file and pull it up. Who here has installed XAMPP? Has successfully installed XAMPP. Oh, great. Okay. Who has not?
Other web server.
Or anything.
Is there anyone who does not have something currently working or in the process of installing it?
Yeah. So we'll get that set up. And then for those that have installed it, have you been able to put a file in your sites folder to try things out? If not, let's open up your favorite text editor and save a file in your sites folder. Okay, so everyone who's gotten everything set up, we're going to keep pushing ahead. For those that have not gotten things fully set up, just raise your hand, and David's floating around to help out as well. So the next thing we're going to do is you should have at least a basic index.html or test.html or the lectures examples in that folder. We're going to take one of those files and make it a little more usable. So we're going to add the meta tag in the head, as we saw in lecture, and add a viewport element to that, a viewport property to that. In addition, we're going to add some script tags and add some JavaScript to make it a little more dynamic. So I want you guys to make a page that has, at the very least, a text box and a button, a submit button, and a div of some sort with an ID. And so feel free to collaborate with your group, but the goal is, when you click the submit button, whatever's in that text box populates that div. So Rob's going to draw a picture. Is that what Rob's doing?
Okay. All right. What'd you say?
A button.
And then that just
right. So the goal is whatever you type. First, set up the HTML such that it has this text box, the submit button, and then some space below.
Invisible space. Like if you just have a div, you're not going to be able to see it, but it'll be there. And then whatever you type here and hit submit, it should show up down here.
So once you have the structure of your HTML set up, you'll need two things. At the very least, a script tag that includes JavaScript, and you'll likely have a script tag that includes jQuery, as we saw in lecture. So if you don't remember exactly how to do that, feel free to collaborate with your partners, look on the course's website, or raise your hand and we'll be floating around. But the goal is to, again, once you click that submit button, have the contents reflected in the div below.
Just to point something out, this little line right here is what I'm using to include jQuery. So if you wanted, you could just download jQuery locally and then include it with like script source equals jQuery.js or whatever, if it were inside of the same directory as this exercise1.html. Here, Google happens to provide a jQuery link online, so I'm just directly linking to Google and pulling down jQuery that way. So either works. Okay, so a couple things I've added just to get you going if you're stuck. So notice I've given some IDs to my div and my form and my input text box, because jQuery is going to conveniently, some of them didn't really need IDs, but it is convenient to have them. Because jQuery, remember this syntax is going to let me $ parentheses and then hashtag or pound, whatever, is going to refer to the element with that ID. I wasn't very creative with my ID name, so we have exercise one form, exercise one text, and exercise one, that shouldn't be ID. Div. Okay, and so what this particular line of jQuery is saying is grab, select this particular item. So we're selecting the item with ID exercise one form, which is this guy. There should only be one thing in your entire document with that ID. And so that's this guy. And we're saying when the submit event is triggered, so when we actually hit submit on that form, we're going to run this function. So I haven't defined what the function does yet, but we're going to want the function to do something like copy this text down into this div and also make sure that the form doesn't actually end up submitting. So let's actually talk about the third point first. We saw this in lecture. How do we prevent the form from actually submitting? What do we need to do? Yes. So we can do that just by return false. If we return true, that means the form should actually submit. And this is going to be useful for things like validating the submission, because like if you didn't fill out a text box, maybe you don't want the form to submit. So return false will prevent that. But if it is filled out, then you do want it to submit, so you can return true. And for points 1 and 2, I'm going to use jQuery. You can use regular straight JavaScript. But what is the selector, and this being the selector, this jQuery selector, what is the selector I'm going to want to use in order to get something from this? Yeah, this is the selector. So remember that the pound, the hash, the whatever you want to call it, refers to the element with that ID. If I said this, that would mean the element with that tag, which there isn't any. You might see that if I did something like div, or if I did, actually div would be pretty good. I'll show that in a second. And we don't want that from form. We want it from exercise one text. So the text is inside of this input box, exercise one text. I gave it that ID. Just get the text. So this is we have now selected the item. And this is where you kind of just learn them, or you can go through the jQuery documentation. But what we're going to want to do to actually get the text that's inside that text box is .val. And so then I can store that in just a variable, var text equals blah. OK, so the line I just added, I wrapped that around everything we had so far inside of this script tag, is another jQuery thing. So you'll notice, and there are some shortcuts you might know, so like .submit also exists, but I'm not going to use those. So whenever you see .on, that refers to like something should happen when this event happens. So submit is one event that happens whenever you like submit a form. So ready is another event that happens whenever that thing has been fully loaded on the page. And so here we're saying when the entire page has been loaded, do this. So without this line, then we are doing this function before we've even gotten to the HTML that causes these things to exist. So when the page fully loads, then do this stuff. And this is a very common pattern that you don't want to do things until the page is loaded.
Is there a danger if you put it at the end of the body?
No. Well, no. You can do that. The thing is that like eventually this will probably get put into or should probably be put in a separate JavaScript file, which you could include at the bottom, but I usually see all these script tags up top. Yeah, so the .ready function is an alternative to this. Sure. And we'll do the last point now. We insert the text into the div. So what selector am I going to want to use? It's exactly this guy. Hash exercise one div. And then we're going to want to make, we're going to want to put inside of it whatever was in that text box. And so you can look at the various jQuery methods that are available to you. Here, I happen to know that I want to use the text method, which is kind of confusing because I called this variable text. So let's say this is text box. So we're using the text method and calling dot, or putting inside of it text box. So this line is saying that take this div, replace whatever is inside it with whatever is in this variable.
And after the labs, we'll definitely post our example solutions with extensive comments, similar to this, but with a little bit more explanation.
Yeah.
So you can so that if you missed a bit or don't quite understand what one line does, you can see it after the lab is over. So I'll get us started on the second part of this, but it extends on this. So if you haven't fully gotten this working, definitely flag us down. We'll help get it working. But the second part is going to tease a bit behind the mechanics of the project. So we'll look at, if you go to cs76.net, there's a projects tab on the left, and there's the link for our first project, which is due approximately 2 weeks hence. Project that got attention. As part of the project, there's a section labeled, let me get the name right, geocoding, and there's a link to Google's geocoding API. So through jQuery, and the project gives a bit of a hint on how to do this with the getJSON function, you're able to make external requests, asking for information from an external API like the geocoding API. In this instance, the geocoding API allows you to turn addresses or zip codes into, or get more information about them. So we're going to extend this example to change, instead of changing text, when you type in a zip code, we'll want you to send that zip code through the geocoding API and get back the city and state for that zip code. So as a first test, go to the link on cs76.net, go to the projects tab, the projects link, and there's a link to the geocoding API. Look at the example there and try it out just by going to the URL at the geocoding API. And definitely talk with people at your table to see if you can't seem to find the page I'm talking about. Then you're going to want to modify this to make your submit box send a request to this geocoding API with jQuery's getJSON function. So I'll float around to help get this, or exercise one working, which was up there a second ago. And then we can push ahead on this second example.
Okay, so once again, I'm going to use jQuery for this, although you can use straight JavaScript. But as you saw in lecture, that like when you start making AJAX requests, where jQuery becomes like a single line of stuff, JavaScript tends to be like a whole bunch of ifs, elses, and making sure it works for Internet Explorer and all that stuff. So jQuery makes this stuff nice. And so you could look through the jQuery documentation looking for the appropriate functions. In the spec, we give you the hint that you can use getJSON. And so just Googling for that, I get this guy. It will also reference the fact that this is shorthand for the .ajax function. So jQuery also provides an AJAX function, which is like a very general AJAX, can do anything you want. But it has some shorthand functions like getJSON and .get and .post that fill in some default parameters for you. So here we're going to use getJSON. And so if we look here, We need to figure out the URL, the data, and success we'll get to in a second, but that's going to be a function that will handle whatever the response from that AJAX request was. So first, need to figure out what the URL is going to be.
So I want to show the jQuery's example.json.
Where's their example?
It's like right there.
This guy? Well, that's making a request to...
Yeah, but there's a URL and there's a function for data URL.
So the jQuery documentation, if you look at it, it's going to give you a bunch of examples for these functions. Here, their example, so dollar sign, whenever you see the dollar sign, you immediately know jQuery. So dollar sign dot get JSON, and then this is the URL they're giving it, and this just happens to mean that, like, if you had a file in your, like, if you had a file inside a folder AJAX called test.json, you could do this. Unfortunately, you don't, or well, you could create one if you wanted. But you can also include here links to like http://google-something. So any type of URL can go in there. And then here is an example of a success function where the function takes one argument. It can take more, but here we're only going to need to take one argument, the data, which is the data that the server returned. And so then inside of this function, we can do stuff with that data. And so in our example, the URL is going to be something with the geocoding API, and the data that it's going to return is hopefully something in which we can find the city and state. Okay, so this is an example URL. This will only currently work for Cambridge MA, so we're going to want to programmatically replace this with zip code. And I guess I'll just do that now because that's simple. So how do we do that? It's just plus zip code. So in JavaScript, you can concatenate strings like this. So to insert zip code just into the middle of the string, we can do this. Yeah.
Do you have to change the address bit with the postal code here? Or
is looking here. What's that? So,
well, just give it a try. And go to the URL, see if it works.
Well, now I don't even.
Hold on. Hit escape and then comma M.
You don't have the same Vim
comma M.
Comma M.
There you go.
Nice.
Okay, so.
Go for it.
Yeah, so here's an example of using the geocoding API. If we go to the URL, maps.googleapis.com/map/api/geocode/json, :address=02138, and you hit enter, this is what we get back. This all sorts of data here. There's something is called results, inside of results, something called address components, and a long name and a short name, and all of this data is what you'll get back if you do jQuery's getJSON function and give it this URL. And then you can access this data by using JavaScript. You'll get it back as an object. So you can do data.results would be the first thing, and that gives you access to all of these everything inside the results. Data.results.address components will give you access to the address components. And so you may want to try just doing without passing the zip code or taking Rob's example code here and seeing if you can console.log or alert data.results, which will come back as an array or an object. But see if you can get the getJSON working without worrying too much about what you do with the data. Just, you know, get it working to the point where you are sending a request to Google and you're getting something back and you know that part is working.
Yeah, it's very common in this, like, once you start dealing with AJAX requests and things, like, set up the call. Don't set up what you actually want to do with the data yet. Just log to make sure the data got there. Because if it didn't get there, then everything else you're doing isn't going to work yet. And if in Chrome, you should get very familiar with, well, I get to it by going here, but there are other ways to open this. Yeah. This little console tab down here. So in this console tab, you can just type regular JavaScript or whatever you console.log in your JavaScript files will appear down here. I can show that pretty readily.
Yeah. And for those that just missed how we got there, you right-click and click Inspect Element and then click the console tab. Or in the view bar, click View.
So that's
The blue bar is developer JavaScript console. That's the other way to get this console to come up. And from here, you can type in JavaScript. And
so you can type in any JavaScript you want in here. So I could do like, I happen to have jQuery already loaded, which means I can also type jQuery down here. So body dot, what is it, CSS. Background color, red. It's not CSS. It is style. I have no idea what it is.
It was CSS.
What is the...
I don't know.
Background color. Boom. So you can interactively play with your page in this little JavaScript console to test out what things do.
Yeah, and that's handy for testing out a one-line jQuery function or something, just to make sure you know that you're putting the right line in your code instead of worrying about trying to figure out which line isn't working.
Yeah, and this is also where Node.xrise 2. And so this is where, like, if I insert console.log ready here. So this is a very frequent thing that I do where, like, when the document loads, this function should be called. And so I console.log to actually verify that it is called. And so if we reload this page, we see down here, why is it?
Oh, I have a persist.
Oh, my God. All right, so ignoring this stuff from the previous reload, but every time I reload, you'll see another ready, because when the document is ready, it's supposed to console.log that.
And there are advanced debugging tools that allow you to go through line by line and make breakpoints and pause your code. But sometimes when I'm just, you know, kind of frustrated, I want to figure out which line isn't working, I'll put console.log 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'll try to figure out which ones aren't showing up, to figure out which blocks of my code aren't being run.
Why do we actually not need to do JCP for this? It's not on our server, right? Do they have cores?
So I literally have no idea, and I wanted to ask David that. So basically there's three things you're going to need to be Ajaxing for the pset. Two of them, you need to do JSONP. I could not figure out why this one I did not need to. So it's obviously something, but I'm just going to ask. I'll get back to you. I'll post it on the forum. Yeah, there'll be, we can break now. It's 8.
Sure.
We can break. Or you can continue. Whatever you want.
Yeah. We promise we will not progress further with our example solution in the next 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So feel free to stretch your legs. We'll both be floating now.
Actually, I'll say it right now.
What?
I'm gonna look up why.
Okay. But is your computer technically is broadcasting this out?
So let's first see whether this is returning what I want it to be returning. So
in the network tab?
I'm hoping that this returns some stuff that, like, the geocode API says what the return stuff looks like. But let's just see if that's what I'm getting.
That's 10.251.
So
amazing. So on your phone. Let me try it out.
And let's try that. That doesn't help.
Sorry. My phone's kind of
slow. So 02138, submit. And now, since I console.logged over here,
you can also, once you install Xcode,
the stuff that got returned, that's Xcode. What I should be seeing down here.
I have Xcode.
And it is.
Okay, so we'll also
and
see
I'll
that
see that.
I'll see if this works.
I can click on this to, like, expand the object. And inside of the object, we have a results array. Inside of that, we have this guy. So I'm going to, for simplicity, I'm just going to copy and paste. I won't copy and paste just Cambridge MA into the div. I'll copy and paste this whole thing. We could go further and, like, parse it, but let's just do this. Or you could go into the address components and actually
view the files.
We'll do that. All right. So you can also use this just to, like, see what the object actually looks like. So now I know that.
It's more important. So
in data,
in Chrome, what URL do you go to see the file?
Data is going to have.
When you see the one you're running.
We have data.results, which is going to be an array.
God.
And inside of results, we only care about the first thing in the array. So this is how you traverse objects, is the dot notation. And results is an array. We just want the first thing in that array. I keep clean. And so inside of here, now we're going to want to traverse address components because we want to find first.
Have you been doing a test HTML? Which file should I just?
We want to find Massachusetts, which is apparently the political type. And we want to find Cambridge, which is locality and
I don't know which one.
Administrative area level 1 are what we're looking for. Okay, so
I forget how MAMP works.
What I just said was might have been confusing, but
that would
data dot result 0 dot address components. Is an array of these address components that contains like Cambridge, MA, 02138, USA. And so in those address components, we specifically want to find Cambridge and MA. And we can find those by looking at the types specified in these components, where 02138 has the type postal code, which is not surprising.
So it's broadcasting not on.
And Cambridge has the type. Public locality, which is a little less intuitive.
So my phone's on the same IP.
And Massachusetts has administrative area level 1, which is impossible.
And
so
the firewall isn't blocking it.
The two things we are looking for are city. I'll specify them here. As just like initializing them to nothing. State equals null. So now we want to traverse this array.
So if you guys see the code. No double quote, no single quotes around data, for one.
And no as a thing I'm going to go over in a bit, and, you might also sometimes see.
And now,
this sort of syntax. So this code do not use this syntax on arrays. This syntax is exclusively for objects.
Like sign,
so iterating over objects is this syntax. The fact that there's two different for loops is why a lot of libraries have things like an each function, which iterates over objects or arrays blindly. But this is the syntax you want to use for arrays, which is probably similar to other programming languages you've ever used. Okay, so as a shorthand, I'm going to just say that. And so now,
23
this is where I tend to over console log, where like, let's make sure things are working where we want them to be. So I'm just going to log what the component actually is. So and
this
coming back to here.
And this paren for that paren.
Refresh, 02138. So we see four things were logged.
Oh, sorry, so that
where they're all objects, and inside of those objects are all these things. So in each of those objects, we want to look in the types to see if it has one of the types we're looking for. We were looking for specifically. I'm going to need to copy these.
Something's not closed. So.
So locality.
So this closes that. This closes this. This closes this, this closes that. And we need one more
and
for this and this.
Administrative area level 1.
One more set of these, of both. Oops, sorry.
So.
And the return false is probably going to end up inside.
There are
a
couple of different ways you could do this. But how I'm going to do it is if inside of comp.types.
So it's inside of that one.
So we want to look inside of comp.types and see if either of these locality or administrative area level 1 is inside of that array. Yeah. And so to do that, I'm going to do dot index of locality. And so if that returns negative 1, that means that locality and locality is not inside of that type array. If it returns anything else, it's going to return the index of that string. And so if it returned the index of the string, that means that it is of the correct type. So here, if it does not equal if it doesn't equal negative 1, then then this component represents the locality, which is Cambridge, I think. So now we want to store inside of city. City equals comp dot long name. And I can look back here in case I forgot what it actually is, but yeah, it's if the type, if locality is inside of this array, then I want a short, either long name or short name, it doesn't matter. Else, if comp.types.index of this guy does not equal negative one, this means I found the state. And so I'm going to store inside of state comp dot, and just so it's MA instead of Massachusetts, I'll store short name. Okay. And now after this for loop, I'm just going to do a sanity check where if city is still null or state is still null, that means that I was not able to find a city or state for this, for the zip code that you entered, and things have gone wrong. I don't know what we'll do. Alert, uh-oh. There's gonna be another alert, uh-oh, we'll need. But alert, uh-oh, and return. Okay, else, now we have our city and state. So these guys are gonna need to go inside of, it's hard with all this text, but notice we're still inside of this getJSON function. So after we have retrieved this data, inside of this, we're going to want to find the city and state. And now we still need to insert the city and state into our div, which is exactly what we did before. Well, it's just this. And the text is going to be city plus comma plus state. Okay, so questions on what we just did? And again, we'll put this these online with comments on exactly what everything is for. So index of, if I give you, well, we can run it in the console. And let's see. So let's say I have this array, var array equals 1, 2, 3, 4. So this is what our array looks like. Inside of this array, if I do ar.index of 2, it's going to return 1. Because 1 is the index of the value 2. And index of 4 will return 3. But if I do index of 5, it's going to return negative 1 because it was not found in that array. So I'm using index of to see if locality or administrative area level 1 are inside of the types array that I'm currently searching through. And let's run this. I'll probably get some sort of errors. Boom. Woo! Unexpected. And this is stuff that you will be doing for the project. It's unfortunate. I find the iterating through those address components things tedious, but Google just kind of returns everything at you, and you have to put it together however you want it to be.
Is it okay to use underscore JS on the project?
You're free, well, the spec currently says that you have to email us about any libraries you want to use. So do that. Underscore is fine if you want to use underscore.
For those unfamiliar, underscore is a library like jQuery that just gives you access to more functions and some functions that are handy.
Yeah. underscore can be useful in this project.
Yeah.
But if you don't know jQuery, then don't overwhelm yourself with libraries. Just use jQuery and get used to that. If you save it, yes. So in JavaScript, unlike in C or other languages, there is no notion of variable scoping. There is some notion, but there's basically only like global scope and function scope. So in JavaScript, if I define a variable inside of here, say blah equals hello, then blah will still be accessible down here if it happened to be defined inside of that if. So like in C, since it's defined in that set of curly braces, it would not be available outside of that set of curly braces. That's not true of JavaScript. Which means what I did up here with setting city equal to null and state equal to null, I could also have just not said that at all. And so what that means is city is going to be set in here, and state will be set in here. And down here, I can say if, and you saw this in lecture, but if type of city is undefined or type of state is undefined. So what this is just saying is if those variables have not been defined, that means we got through this whole for loop without hitting the lines var city equals whatever and var state equals whatever. Which means that we did not find a city or state, and we should alert the same uh-oh. So this is a, like, this pattern type of variable equals undefined is your way of checking to see if the variable exists.
So for those still working on this one, keep working on it, we'll float around. For those who have finished this one, something else you may want to try is instead of the address field, the geolocating API allows you to pass in a latitude and a longitude. So LATLNG would be, instead of address, LATLNG equals. And then then the latitude, comma, the longitude. So I give that a try with some made-up numbers or numbers you get from Google Maps. And when that works, try using your current location. The way you can access your current location is through a cool JavaScript thing called geolocation used by navigator.geolocate. It takes a few callbacks like getJSON did, but I Google around a bit, take a look at some documentation, and see if you can figure out how the navigator.geolocate function works in JavaScript. As a hint, it'll give you a latitude and longitude, and you'll probably want to send that along to Google. But try just getting your current latitude and longitude using navigator.getJSON. Navigator.geolocate.
That says get current location, that button.
Ah. And the easiest way to try it out, write in your console. So if you open up a console and type in navigator.geolocate, and then pass in whatever you're supposed to pass in, it should work for you. Not geolocation, not geolocate. Well, do it without that, so as an example. So if you type in the console navigator.geolocation, the console tells us it has two functions inside of it, get current position, or three functions, watch position and clear watch. We don't really care about the last two, but we're going to want to use this get current position function. And no arguments. For example. Yeah. So no arguments is not the right way to call this function. It does take one or more arguments. Their callback functions are a lot like getJSON. If you try it without them, it'll tell you that you're wrong. But not to give what an example callback would be. But if you look it up, it'll tell you what kind of function or what kind of argument it's expecting. and my bottom left corner does that, Rob.
Is this provided from the browser or the navigator object?
Yes. So it's an HTML5 thing that in newer browsers, they have a navigator object that has this geolocation ability.
In the same way that you have a document object or a window object, it just comes kind of built in.
I hate W3
scroll. What are you trying to do?
Go back, and it wasn't. You don't have natural scrolling.
Correct.
So I looked up on developer.mozilla.org. That happened to be the first link. That tends to be a pretty good site for documentation. And here you'll see that this is how we're going to call it. It has three parameters: success, errors, and options. So the only one you need to specify here is success. But remember in the problem set that there should be absolutely no way for us to trigger absolutely any errors in your console, meaning like you should never get any red warnings down here, in here. So you are probably want to, in your project, you're going to want to specify an error function that's going to handle errors appropriately. If you don't specify that function, then we're going to get, whenever something goes wrong, we'll get red text in your console.
So can you click?
So a quick callback to the previous exercise we just did before we got into the geolocation stuff.
So it actually doesn't know.
An error that we did not consider that I had meant to is, what if I enter something that is an invalid zip code? So even if it's just like a set of five numbers that isn't a real zip code, or Google doesn't have any information about it. So this is something where Google happens to say that it'll return something like its data.status will be like zero results or something. So
what do we make?
If that is the case, this is just another error scenario you need to watch out for. So another alert, uh-oh, or whatever. Because if you don't look out for this, then I should do that.
Easiest thing
right here.
You do console.log.
If you don't look out for this, then here when you say var components equal data.results 0, there will not be a result 0 because that array will be empty. So you need to be making sure that everything is valid so that you don't get any of these errors.
And I think you probably have the same issue.
And
as well.
For the last or the recent exercise, now back to geolocation stuff. So what I've changed so far is, like up there, I've changed the top thing to be from like a text field to just a button
that, it found it.
That says use current location.
And
now, since I'm using a button all the way up here, what we used to have as on submit, since we're no longer submitting a form, we're just clicking a button. Now I'm using a different event handler. So the event now isn't submit, it's click. So when we click this button, we're going to want to do our thing. And I've started with using get current position. The success function is going to take the position. And then we need to do things with that position. And over in your console is an easy way. All right. Navigator.geolocation.getCurrentPositionFunctionPosition. Console.log position.
There you go.
Okay. So I did this just to see what the object looks like that this is returning. And so I can look in here and I see that there's a timestamp field and a chords field. And inside of chords, there is a latitude and longitude. So I'm going to directly use those.
My guess is that.
And I can say.
Oh, they're calling that a sub.
This is unnecessary, but the latitude is position.chords.latitude.
So the way we said
the longitude.
Interesting.
Is position.chords.longitude. And now inside of our URL, we no longer want to use Google's before this was address and we used a zip code. Now we want to use lat long, and you can see this just in Google's on the API page. It says you can use latitude and longitude, and I'll do lat plus comma separating them plus long. So now we're using that, and let's see what the object looks like that it's returning.
Oops, sorry.
Refresh, nope, exercise 3. Okay, use current location. You see the object? It's an array of length 9. So we have 9 different objects in here. I am still using the first one, which we see contains literally the entire address. So 52 Oxford Street, Harvard University, Cambridge, MA 02138. The rest of these objects as we go, down, we'll see that this says United States, this one says Massachusetts, USA, and United States, some sequence of characters, Middlesex, MA, USA. So as we go down this results array, we get like more and more general areas along with some different languages or something. So the top one is good enough for us, because we're still iterating over this, these address components, looking for locality and administrative area level 1. So we really didn't need to change anything else to get this working, because all this stuff from when we were using zip code still applies. We're just now using Latin long. Yes.
Fun fact, Manhattan's a sublocality. So it's just New York, unless you do. Things I've learned by floating. So if I could have everyone's attention for a little bit, I'm going to introduce what will be our next exercise. But if you want to keep working on the previous one, that's or the previous two, wherever you are, that's totally fine. And I'll keep floating and helping with anything. Or if you want to put those aside and move on to this one, that's also totally fine. But in the interest of making sure we cover all the topics you'll need for the project, I'll just introduce this next one. So we're actually going to go back to some of the HTML from the very first exercise, just a text box and a button and a div. If you deleted that or extended that, it shouldn't be too much to make a new one with, again, text box, button, div. The goal here is to play with local storage and make it so that when you enter a word and hit submit, it'll add to this list. So the first thing I would do is modify our exercise 1 code from replacing to adding. And instead of just fully replacing the HTML there, you're going to want to get the HTML that's already there, add to it, and put it back. That shouldn't be too much of a change from exercise 1. With local storage, however, we want to make it so that when you refresh the page or close the browser and come back, the list stays. Think of this as like a to-do list of words that I want to remember. So first, get your exercise 1. For those that are going to do this exercise, get the very first thing we did up and running again, and now have it add instead of just fully replacing. And then play with local storage, whereby you can set where you can save items in local storage. Again, feel free to work on any of the exercises we've been talking about. We did just email out the sort of solution set or the draft of the solution set for the previous ones, so feel free to do whichever exercise you like. And if you're looking for a tutorial on local storage, a quick Google search should bring up the methods you can use to put things in local storage and pull them back out again. Yeah, Rob just reminded me that jQuery has an append function that will add on to the content in a div. So if this div was called text, $#text dot append world would put world after whatever's inside of there. So no need to get what's in there, remember it, add to it, put it right back. $, a selector, and then dot append will allow you to add things to the contents of a div.
So from the exercise 1.html that was sent out, this is literally the only change so far.
He's changing text to append for those with vision closer to mine. Can you go back?
Okay. Yes. So the objective here is that like after I refresh this page, so all of these highs would stay here.
On every loop.
But
every
as of right now, loop. Obviously, if I refresh,
this
they're
is
gone.
Part of our loop.
So as a teaser,
the type
we have this
type of
local
we
storage
after
object. In HTML5 compliant browsers.
It's the return that stops.
And
But you really want
right, ignoring what's already in that object that apparently RJ put in there or something.
That's fine.
You'll notice,
really should only happen when there's been a problem.
If I do local storage dot foo equals bar,
I'll see an alert.
Now if I refresh the page,
and that's what'll happen.
And that refresh the page.
So
and, you want and look alert, inside you of local storage, we see that foo is still there.
All of them.
So no this local storage object persists beyond the refresh of a page. And so you can store things in that for subsequent visits to a page. And you'll probably want to be storing whatever is inside of this div in that local storage object somewhere.
And syntax highlighting again points out that.
So I want to copy this out of two.
And for reference, this is a pretty common thing in jQuery, where like here if I say, let's see. If I say,
and we'll have instructions on the website soon to.
If I say exercise 4 div.text hello, this would insert into exercise 4 div the text hello. It would make the text inside of this div hello. But if instead I use the .text method with no argument, that retrieves the text that is inside of that div. Okay, so I'm just going to pick, you can pick whatever. Name you want to store inside of local storage. You can pick whatever the key you want to call it. I'm going to call it divText.
In there.
So local storage.divText equals all text.
It doesn't know. It doesn't really know about it.
So
easiest way to
deal now, with this is what have I forgotten to do? Slash, why won't this entirely work yet?
Function geolocate and delete. I guess that.
Yes, and that's.
Make sure it lines.
Fine. Yeah. Well,
so now.
So the alternative to doing this is like.
Calling this geolocate.
So it's kind of like.
Submit does geolocate now.
If
does this,
my div currently says hello world dog or hello world cat, then my local storage.div text also says hello world cat. And then if I proceed to add dog, I am completely overwriting what is currently inside of local storage.div text. Instead, I could just append to it dog. So that is an alternative. But still, if I, this at least succeeds in, now if I say local storage dot div text, I see all that.
So just make sure everything's
but
happening.
But what is the issue?
With couple quotes, like hello or the number one or just anything really.
So and I'm actually wondering if that's going to be the case. Ignoring that for now. Oh.
Below.
I know why that will be the case. Ignoring that for now.
Or inside the curly braces.
Why does it not currently remember what was in, like, local storage? It's remembering it, but it should reappear in this div. Why is it not reappearing in the div?
Let's give this one a try.
Because I'm never actually, like, I'm just, right. I'm updating local storage.div text whenever there's something added to it, but I'm never.
Going to return false.
Yeah, I'm not, like, putting, when I refresh the page, I need to insert that text into the div.
I believe so. It's going to be the last
so
thing that happens in the submit.
I want to do that.
Oh, actually, it's
probably on ready.
This one closes the submit handler.
All right, there's a couple things. Okay, so when the document loads, I want to insert into our. Exercise for div.
So this is the position thing. Mm-hmm. Notice that there's
I want
no
to give it
chords.
The
no
text
city or state, and so state are coming out undefined.
And what is okay? Well,
but you can use
bar. The text we want is local storage.
Dot next to chords.
Div text.
So that's what we have access to.
And I could insert that directly in there, but
so it's.
Let's see what this does.
Dot chords dot latitude and position dot chords dot longitude.
So
be two
it correctly inserts the text into the div. Notice if I insert something, let's do other letters.
Chords, I think with a D for coordinates. Chords is beer.
Oh, there we go. Okay, so notice that they're going on separate lines, and that's correct because I put a br tag here, line break. But if I refresh, it all ends up on the same line. And that's because of jQuery. You have to be careful of what functions you use. So there is text, and there is...
You'd have to send that to the...
HTML. So text grabs literally only the text inside of the div. HTML will also grab all of the relevant tags and things. So it was ignoring the br tags when I was using text. But now we're using HTML. So something is still wrong. Let's see what it is. Or refresh first.
Excuse me.
Refresh. So now we see that all the br tags are literally in the code. And that's because of this text up here, because we want this to also be HTML. So when we said text, it was taking the HTML characters literally. Like, I wanted a less than sign right here. Whereas when we say HTML, it interprets the less than sign as the beginning of an HTML tag. And there's one last thing that we want to do. And that is going to be, so a frequent issue with local storage when you're working with it. So
this is
data. Oh, and this looks good now. And as we add things,
data.result
refresh, and it's there. So frequent issue is like, all right, now we want to start over. So
it's from here down.
This works for any associative array, any object, and this is also true of local storage. So to do that, we can just type in our console, delete local storage dot div text. And so now it no longer exists again. But what is going to happen when I refresh?
Or an administrative area local.
Not what I was expecting.
Going through, looking for
maybe that were
administrative area level 1, which is going to be the state, and locality, which is the city.
So this is probably fighting me.
So the first result
so
is from.
I was hoping it would yell at me, but it's not. It will yell at you depending on. So the issue here is local storage.divText is not defined.
Show you an example.
And so here, when we say var text equals local storage.divText, text is undefined. Which just happens to work out because inside of here, when we just say HTML undefined, it's just not going to put anything. The right way of doing this, and in the project, you're almost assuredly going to want to do this because you're going to need to work local storage a bit differently, is to first say if, and this is what we did before, with if local storage.divText is not undefined
to this URL,
then we'll do this stuff
log it out.
Of.
So this
actually inserting it into the DOM.
So in here you can
and this is the exact same type of stuff we did before, where like, is this variable actually defined? If so, then we'll actually use it and insert it. If it's not, then avoid any possible errors that might happen if we try to use it as if it is, as if it does exist.
Now, a more general one.
Questions on that?
Like a street, like 10 Main Street might give you 10 results or something for different states and states. So result 0 is the first result that Google gives.
So
back, and then we
if local storage is what?
First result.
Yes. So I was actually going to ask David this, but the answer is yes for any application you really make. Remember local storage and also our navigator.geolocation stuff? All of that is like HTML5. It's very new. It's if you go back to IE6 or even like early Chrome and all this stuff, you will not have those things. And so these will cause errors if you go into earlier browsers. So technically, we should do something like if type of local storage does not equal undefined, that means we are in a HTML5 compliant browser that has local storage support. Then we can do this stuff. And that's, I don't have it in this, but same thing with the navigator stuff. If navigator does not equal undefined, then use navigator.geolocation.getCurrentPosition. That is the right way of making any app. Although, if your app is using a bunch of other features that your website will basically be broken if it doesn't support local storage, then usually what happens if type of local storage doesn't or is actually undefined, alert. Get a newer browser or something.
The Google API wants to know.
Which a lot of websites actually do. Or a lot of websites will say, like, turn on JavaScript and stuff like that. 25 bars?
No, swing it by
bars. Oh, yeah. So this is what would have been exercise 5, but now there's 15 minutes. So local storage only stores strings. And you will notice in the, well, yes, technically you don't have to, but if you want to store an array or an object inside of local storage, then you'll need to store them as strings. One way of doing that is this convenient, so using it in the console, we have json.parse and json.stringify. So what json.stringify does is, let's say we have some array, then json.stringify of that array will return a string version of that array. And, or let's say string equals ix. And then if we json.parse that string, it will return the original array that we had. So inside of local storage, let's say local storage.array equals x. So when we refresh this page and look at local storage.x, it's undefined, or we did not call it that array. It shows this string 1, 2, 3, 4, which is not a valid array. And so the way we want to store it is local storage.array equals json.stringify the array 1, 2, 3, 4. Now when we refresh the page.
Can you zoom, Rob?
And look at local storage.array. We see it's an appropriate array form, but it's still a string. And so we can json.parse. And so we're just showing these functions to you so that you know they're available. You're probably going to want to use them in the project. Remember, local storage cannot store objects or arrays. So if you want to store them, you need to first stringify it and store it in local storage. And then when you want to retrieve it, you need to parse the JSON. Questions?
Yeah, so those are the exercises we had for the last 10 minutes. There'll be more free-form open question and answer. We'll still continue to float around. And definitely, if you have any questions on the problems you've been doing, the example solutions, your own solutions, feel free to ask us right now or reach out to us via email or to really post to discuss where we can discuss them as a group.
And again, tonight we'll write up like nice commented versions of the things I just sent out to you.
So yeah, we'll just continue to float.
Just to point out the syntax.
So for each time through this loop,
local storage
applies to one of these.
Dot foo is exactly the same as local storage bracket foo.
So see how there's this types.
So this any object you can reference things in either way. The exception being you can't say like dot
and check this types array.
Dot tilde or something, but you can say this.
This is the console.log data.
It's over.